is not in Rhaenyra's nature to be deceitful. I cannot say the same for your brother.
You believe he lied?
How often does he speak the pure truth?
How does confessing to such things serve him?
By reducing you.
Whatever transpired, Rhaenyra is not innocent.
Only because Daemon tried to corrupt her.
Daemon and Rhaenyra share the blood of the dragon. They are restless and chaotic.
She swore to me that she remains a maiden. And I believe her.
From Providence, Rhode Island, welcome to the House of the Dragon with Mary and Blake. It's a podcast dedicated to the House of the Dragon on HBO. So sit back, relax, and let's talk about fire and blood. Welcome back. My name is Mary Larson.
My name is Blake, and this episode.
Yeah. This one took some time for us to digest.
This is an interesting episode.
Yep.
Because I actually quite liked it. I thought it was good. But there's that whole
incest
thing that I just have to reconcile with myself. And you knew it was coming.
I mean,
it was going to happen.
I was just about to say, didn't it come?
That's what she said.
You're welcome,
but,
world.
It was going to happen. It was just a question of when. And the whole thing is, how do you take pleasure in watching it, right? Because did you feel different when it was Jaime and Cersei?
Yeah.
Why did you feel different when it was Jaime and Cersei? And
because that's how I was introduced to them. I was introduced to them banging in episode one.
Yeah, but we knew that the Targaryens, kept it within their bloodlines.
But we've met Princess Rhaenyra as a girl, and it's still the same actress.
You know what?
So
that might be
4 years have gone by, but. Not really.
That might be it. That might be it. Because I remember feeling that same way when Arya had her sex scene in the final season, where I was like, I've literally watched you go from...
You've grown up in front of my eyes.
Like this little teeny bopper to a person.
I'm at a point now where students who I've taught are now having their own kids.
Oh, that's weird.
And it's really weird because it's like, not only are you having sex, but you're old enough to be having kids. And yes, we've seen Alicent, who's now, Lord knows how many babies she's had by this point.
Yes.
Maybe two, but
I think
maybe
that's
more.
Two. Yeah, there's at least two
at
that
least
we know
two,
of.
Yes. So it's, but I don't know if it's two. How much time has gone on between these two episodes? Because she was pregnant.
Well, she was super pregnant the previous episode.
So how much? Oh, it hasn't been that long.
It hasn't been that long.
Only long enough for Daemon to get a haircut.
Right.
And a month of Rhaenyra being on tour.
So, yeah, so it hasn't been all that long.
Okay, so probably just two babies.
But, yeah.
But nonetheless, yes, Rhaenyra is old enough to be having sex and be doing all these things, but that is where I feel the difference. We met Jaime and Cersei in Game of Thrones as grown adults.
Doing their thing.
Whereas in this, it is the actress who portrays Rhaenyra who we were introduced to as a teenager.
Yeah, and it's not me clutching my pearls. I'm down for some sick stuff. Like, cool.
I'm not.
Like, and I never yuck anybody's yum, okay?
I do.
That's whatever you do, that's cool on you. We all got our thing, okay? But for some reason, as I was watching that scene, I was just like, I was conflicted. I'm like, okay, this is good. I like what's happening, but I feel kind of icky at the same time.
And we're supposed to feel that way. And yeah. we will get into that, of course, in this episode. Right. But before we do, we want to let you know that this is brought to you by MinuteWithMary.com. If you are someone who partakes in skincare or makeup, I would highly recommend you search the hashtag MinuteWithMary on Facebook or Instagram or YouTube, as I share loads of tips and tricks. And if you're on the lookout for a new product, head on over to MinuteWithMary.com so I can be your new makeup lady. Yes, this girl that hangs on your earbuds. I do that too. If you would like to get social with Blake and I, you can find us on all social media fronts. Just search Mary and Blake. We would love to see you there. And thanks, of course, to those of you who contribute at jointhenerdclan.com. You are what makes this mom and pop podcast possible. We do not have major corporate sponsors. We're not part of a big podcast entity. We honestly get to do this because of listener support like yours. So if you're not yet a member, you can join for as little as $2 a month at jointhenerdclan.com. All right, let's get into the show.
All right, Marvin, episode 103, what do you got for your mini-plot recap?
Basically, Rhaenyra has sex. She sees sex, she wants sex, she gets sex, and Daemon gets caught being dirty.
A little dirty.
Yep.
And he comes back as the king of the Narrow Sea, which is also a big deal,
long.
Too. Not for long. Gives it up.
Yeah.
All right. This episode was entitled King of the Narrow Sea, as
should
I just mentioned.
Been titled Sex.
Sex. And this was directed by Claire Kilner. Now, Claire Kilner is...
the first female of the season.
Yes, it is. She has directed many episodes of television, including Snowpiercer, The Alienist, The Mosquito Coast, Krypton, Pennyworth. There's a Sneaky Pete, some really good stuff here. But Mary, the thing that stands out to me is one of her movies... One of my favorite rom-coms of all time.
Yeah, and you have a lot.
I got a lot.
Fun fact, friends, if Blake had a favorite genre, it would not be fantasy.
No.
It would not be historic.
Thrillers, none of that.
It would be rom-coms.
It's rom-coms. Love me a good... I don't like the bad ones. Love me a good one. This one that she directed?
Tell me.
Great one.
Oh, okay.
The Wedding Date. Featuring Deborah Messing. And Dermot Mulroney.
Wow, that's not one of my favorites. Oh. Okay. Deborah Messing, who hails from...
R.I.
Rhode Island, baby.
That's right. Pride of Rhode Island right there. Deborah Messing.
That's who we got. Deborah Messing. We do have Olivia Culpo.
We got Olivia Culpo. You know, if I had to put my money on somebody, it's Olivia Culpo.
We've got the guy who won Survivor the first season. And we've got DJ Pauly D.
That's and for you history dorks out there, we have Nathaniel Green as well. There you go.
And Gilbert Stuart.
Sure. Yeah. Oh, and...
He's the one that painted like the most famous painting of George Washington.
And we got the guy that wrote the Jumanji.
Yeah.
What's his name?
Oh my God.
Chris Van Allsburg. Yeah. I got you. Yeah.
And he did the Polar Express. Yeah. And he's Jewish.
There you go. Imagine that.
I taught his kid how to play clarinet.
And she also directed a bunch of episodes of EastEnders, too. So that is for those of you.
The Wedding Date. Yeah. All right.
Oh, The Wedding Date's great.
You know, she took the sexual tension or lack thereof in The Wedding Date. Not one of my favorite rom coms.
That's a great
obviously.
Michael Bublé song and, on that movie, too.
And said, you know what? If I directed The Wedding Date, I can do Rhaenyra's first sex. I can do the bells of a pleasure house. And gosh darn it, she did.
Oh, man, that is so funny.
The amount of intimacy coordinators that must have been on set.
Oh, yeah.
Did you lose your little cloth? How about you? Do you have one? Nope, you're the guy that has his penis showing while he peels an apple. Okay. You see that one?
Yeah. No, I did not see that.
Full frontal male nudity, and he's like cutting up an apple.
Hey, man, you know when you're going to cut an apple?
He needs a snack.
There's nothing.
A little sustenance.
Am I going to say I'm more comfortable in birthday suit cutting apples?
Maybe
I'm probably
going to. Something else. It was such a quick shot, I actually tried to pause it.
He ain't cutting rug, I'll tell you that.
There were people munching rug, though.
Oh,
so
yeah.
There was a lot. This is not a PG.
The girl that plays Rhaenyra made a comment. She's like, "Yeah, you know, we showed up. We were doing this scene for like 12 hours. There are just a bunch of extras in the background, 69 and for like 12 hours. They never met each other before."
Hey, that's like from one of my favorite rom-coms.
What?
Love Actually.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
That's how Bilbo Baggins, that actor, right?
Yeah.
meets his love.
That's right.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. I forgot about that.
Okay. That's what rom-coms are for.
Oh, man. See, rom-coms are great, man. All right. It was also written by Ira Parker, who has come from The Last Ship, as well as doing episodes of Four in the Morning and Rogue and The Pinkertons. So, and also another television show called
I haven't heard of any of these things that these people have done.
The Last Ship was the show that was created by what's his name that did
exactly
The Shield. What the heck's his name? Mm. I can't remember his name. Now. Yep. Hold on. I'm saying.
Okay, friends? I don't know about this stuff.
I gotta look this up. Sean Ryan. There you go. That's the guy who was the showrunner for The Shield. He was the showrunner for The Last Ship. It was a big deal because it was his first show after The Shield.
Not a big enough deal that I'd know about
it. No, not at all. All right, so
they've made a splash.
What do you got for your flame rating? How many flames are you giving this episode?
I'm giving this episode a 4.7.
4.7?
Mm-hmm.
We're going up in the world with you.
Oh, we sure are.
Wow, okay. So this is your best episode
of
the season
yet.
So far.
Yep.
Wow, I did not get that feeling after we watched it.
No, it was my second watch when I really got into the Sir Criston
Cole. Oh, Sir Criston Cole?
Yeah. If you were like, ew, in the bowels of the pleasure house and what happened, you know, with Alicent, all I'm going to tell you is enjoy
Sir Criston.
Enjoy unlacing boots. Enjoy giggles.
For me, I'm giving this one, I have it marked down as 4.4, but now that you talk about Sir Criston Cole, I'm going to have to go up to 4.5.
Like, and she did it. She was like, my first time, not only am I going to be picking who I want,
yeah,
I'm going to get on top.
I'm going to
have
charge.
Some fun.
Yeah.
It's going to be with like the hottest guy in the castle, who
clearly
also is my friend.
Yep.
I know he's not sleeping around, so I won't get an STD. Right? Well done, Rhaenyra.
So, yeah, I'm going 4.5. And because, you know, this felt different. Fun fact, by the way, there was an intimacy coach on set. Mm-hmm. And for the first time ever, Game of Thrones, in the Game of Thrones world, there is an intimacy coach. So
hold up. They haven't had an intimacy coach until now?
Correct.
What the hell?
Well, the whole first show, they did not have an intimacy coach.
Well, you know what? I can tell there was a difference.
Sure, exactly. And also, the fact, too, that this was directed
by a
woman using a...
I can tell the difference.
Yeah, there certainly is. And I'm giving it a 4.5 specifically because of the care and the consideration that was used during the direction, but also for the writing, too.
Mm-hmm.
Because the sex is not used as a thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's used as a driving moment for our character.
Mm-hmm.
And it has a real purpose to what it's trying to achieve. Because of that, I'm going to go 4.5. I could be convinced to go to 4.6. I could. But we'll see. We'll see what happens for the rest of the episode. All right, you're GBG. You're good. You're bad. And you're great.
My good is that the hand of the king fired. You're fired.
Oh, you're fired.
Oh, I did not see that coming.
I totally agree.
And I am thrilled. I am so thrilled because I wanted him out of here. I'm proud of Viserys. I feel like this might be the last bold move that he makes in his life. You know, he doesn't.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm just proud of him for doing that. So I'm excited to see where this also puts the character now that he's not the hand. Mm-hmm. And he still has his foot in the door thanks to his daughter.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just, that was my good. My bad was how I felt my initial viewing of the bowels of the pleasure house scene and Alicent being plowed.
You mean Rhaenyra? No. What? Oh, Alicent. Okay, Alicent.
Yeah, because it was,
okay,
you know, in tandem.
Yep.
I just didn't feel good at all. I felt actually really bad after I watched this episode the first time. I just felt sad for women. I felt sad just about this whole episode. I felt I did not feel good after watching this episode. It actually took us a while to record because of that. But it was after subsequent viewings, which leads me to my grade,
yes,
that I did enjoy it on a subsequent viewing. And leaning into Rhaenyra making her choice, mm-hmm, and having her eyes open to the fact that sex can be pleasurable for a female, that a female in the Game of Thrones show could have an active role in choosing who she wants, in the position that she wants, in enjoying it, made me very happy. Mm-hmm. And I was thankful that my viewpoint on this episode did change.
Yep. Excellent. So you got your good, your bad, you gave us your great.
Yes.
Yes. Good. Excellent. My good. So here's the thing. Mary, I kind of see you about the Alicent thing. I'm co-signing a little bit where I felt bad for Alicent, but I like what Claire Kilner does in juxtaposing Alicent's experience against Rhaenyra's experience, mm-hmm, and how Alicent seems to be just doing her duty the way that it was described to Rhaenyra by Rhaenys, if you recall, like to Rhaenyra from her mother, where like, this is what women do. It's, yes, our battlefield. And that felt very much like that for Alicent, where it was like, okay, I'm going to do the thing that I'm supposed to do. Whereas it really told a story about their marriage, and on the other hand, Rhaenyra's experience tells a story about how she's coming into her own, where she is headed, mm-hmm, and what that will mean for her. Like, this is going to open up a world of change for Rhaenyra in many different ways, and she doesn't necessarily have to abide by the rules. She can choose to do what she wants. And that even manifests itself later on when she says, fine, I'll marry Laenor. Fine, I'll marry him. But you got to do the right thing to her dad. And her dad gets rid of the hand. So you can see how that this experience already opens up avenues for the character and for the choices that are being made. It's not a thing that influences the character. It's the character influencing the thing.
Yes.
That is excellent.
Agreed.
My bad. It has nothing necessarily to do with the show or what the show did or how it was written or directed or any of that.
Taking something out of my book and how it made you feel?
Yes. I felt...
awkward.
I kind of hate that I liked the scene between Daemon and Rhaenyra. Like, I kind of hate that I liked it.
Like them watching everybody or them making out?
Them watching everybody was fine. Like, I knew what was coming, and it was just a matter of time, right? It was, like I said before, it was just a matter of time. This is going to happen. He ain't taking her in there for funsies. Like, he's taking her in there to do something. And it starts happening. I'm like, I'm kind of into this. And then I'm like, I feel icky that I'm into this. Mm. I feel kind of gross right now. And I kind of hate that I liked it. Mm. But that's okay. That's what happens. That was my bad. And my great. It kind of ties back to what happens with Alicent. If you notice that there are three visuals that Claire Kilner uses to illustrate what is happening in these sexual relations. Alicent, her hand is being held by the king. And it's just like this lifeless hand. And then Kilner focuses in on that. And then when Rhaenyra is with Daemon, he is like holding her hand up against the wall. And it's, mm-hmm, one of like domination. Mm-hmm. And of course she accepts it, but it's very like dominating. And then Kilner then focuses in on Rhaenyra's hand doing the same thing to Sir Criston Cole. So it's just like these three shots that illustrate what is happening and the dynamics of the relationships that they're trying to show. I thought that was really cool. But my other great has nothing to do with sex at all. It is the tracking shot that Kilner uses as Daemon walks up to the Iron Throne with his crown on, and nobody knows what's going to happen. And he's walking up there, and he walks right up to the sword, puts it on his chest, and just says, put it on the chair, and drops the little axe.
That crown, which, by the way, is made out of sticks. It's like driftwood.
I know.
I kind of just pictured him making when he arrived on his dragon, and he landed on the beach. Like,
he's like, oh, shit, you know what would be so cool
is if I had my own crown.
Anybody got some seaweed?
I'm just going to arts and crafts this, MacGyver it, done.
Who's got a hot glue gun?
Yeah.
Yeah, I just really liked that scene. And the tracking shot that showed him walking up, but as he was walking up, Rhaenyra was coming up with him at the same time in the crowd. That foreshadows what's coming. And I really, really, this episode was really well directed, in my opinion. So
agreed.
That is my grade. All right, Marvin, you ready for the small council?
Of course I am.
Let's do it.
His Grace has many cares. He entrusts some small matters to us that we might lighten the load.
We are the lords of small matters here.
Kicking things off with our first small council member, we have got Candace Bailey Combs, who says, I liked it. 4.5 at least. My favorite part was Rhaenyra and Alicent have become much more friendly, even though she lied a little bit later. But I think that's one of the most interesting things they could do. Rhaenyra and Alicent?
Rhaenyra.
Rhaenyra?
Not Rhaenyra. It's
just, Rhaenyra would be cool too. both of them, now that would be a power couple.
I mean, Rhaenyra and Alicent would be a power couple, too.
She just put RNA, and I just put in the person who I thought would be kind of cool in this universe. I love the subversion of making women friendly rather than enemies. We've seen patriarchal systems and how women live tortured lives. Boring. Show me something new. A meaningful friendship between two women in a castle sounds fun. Second point, I think we know Daemon can't produce heirs. Even if their dynamics are the most interesting so far, a partnership between them will not secure them power. Lastly, I miss characters from Game of Thrones, like Littlefinger and Varys. Maybe the White Worm will get more interesting. Lots of side characters need more dimension. Time will tell. I'm on board.
Yeah, Candace, I kind of agree with you. There are some powerful characters here, and I still maintain the most powerful character yet is Daemon. And that is only because when he is on screen, you don't know what's going to happen. Anything can happen. And that is when you know you're writing a good character and good scene work. Mm-hmm. If there's literally anything in this world that could happen when your character's on screen, you get it. If your characters are predictable, then you're not doing the right job. You're not writing enough tension. You're not giving enough texture. This one comes from Roseanne. She says, I'm thinking that it's a bad thing when I have to read a review of the New York Times to understand why this episode had any value beyond explicitly dramatizing that the Targaryens are degenerates with dragons in a kingdom of degenerates.
Wow, that's some good...
I'm also thinking that this is a typical germ, but without the heroic, good, and fascinating characters that we had in Game of Thrones, or a tangible big bad to fear, and I'm starting to worry. There is simply no one to root for here with enough redeeming qualities to balance their depravity, which is definitely intentional. Frankly, parts of this episode made me feel like some twisted voyeur at a peephole. Hashtag... Oh, say it with me now, everybody. Say it with me.
Not great, Bob.
Mary, your thoughts on not having an archetype to root for?
I'm rooting for Rhaenyra after this episode.
You are?
But as I said, it took additional viewings.
Yes.
So if she'd only watched it once, I hear you. I was right there with you. I had a lot of yuck about this episode. But then when I saw it as a young woman who is being told this is the role you live in society, and she's taught to live in fear, and she's taught she wants just solitude. You know, there's the whole conversation with Daemon saying, oh, don't live in fear. And she said, I don't want to live in fear, but I do want to live alone.
Right.
And for her to be like, you know what? I am woman. You could tell she put on a little Beyonce. She got a bodysuit, maybe some red lipstick, put on a little perfume, was feeling herself.
She put on some shapewear. That's what she did.
She doesn't need shapewear.
No, she doesn't need shapewear?
She doesn't. No.
No. She can wear whatever she wants.
Do you know what shapewear is?
I know.
It's when you gotta like sausage case yourself a little bit, okay? Renara doesn't have anything she needs.
Well, when you said bodysuit, that's what I thought of.
No, I meant like Sandy from Greece.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yep.
You better shape up. I just feel like she was feeling herself, and so much of Game of Thrones and so much of this episode, it just, the show is women have their place and this is their duty.
Yeah.
And I felt like this was a huge thing for Rhaenyra, not only to kind of claim her sexual empowerment, mm-hmm. but then for her to say, okay, sure, I'll marry my cousin. Don't see how that much worse than marry my uncle, but whatevs. And because let's be real, it's her cousin she's right. marrying. Yeah, right. We're all okay with that. But she says, but you know what we're going to do first? We're going to get rid of the hand.
Yeah.
And she does a checkmate that nobody saw coming.
Agreed.
And I feel like she did that because she claimed her.
She claimed her sexual authority.
Yeah.
Her authority over herself.
Yes.
So are you finding that this is the character to whom you are now bound? Or
I'm not bound. I'm just rooting for her.
Yeah, that's what I guess what I'm
for this at. Woman. To kick butt and take names and, you know, enjoy her life.
Are there any other characters do you think so far are worthy?
I do also like Alicent.
Okay.
Like Sir Criston Cole.
I was just going to say, I mean, the one guy that I can really, truly feel something for here is Sir Criston.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you see that chest hair. It's like, oh, yeah, of course, man. Come on now. Although, because I'm a sick person, I love me some Daemon.
I know.
I love me some Daemon.
I'm not, you know.
You're just checking your phone. It's fine.
It's fine.
All right. This next one comes from Catherine Marley. She says, the good, Rhaenyra dressing up like a boy to sneak out into the city. This was my favorite literary trope as a young adult. The example of this would be the Song of the Lioness Quartet by Tamora Pierce. Although the more famous, and I'd say pop culture reference of this nature would be Aladdin with Princess Jasmine.
She's not dressing up as a boy to go outside.
I know, but she does dress up to go outside of the palace.
And did you notice Daemon called her a street rat?
Yes, I did notice that. So,
and then he showed her a whole new world.
Oh, yes, he did. And then Rhaenyra had the freedom to walk in the streets and drink without being recognized, if only for a single evening. The bad, Otto Hightower and Daemon being conniving, power-hungry jerks. I know I'm not supposed to like Daemon, but I really want him to have some redeeming qualities. The great, Rhaenyra coming into her own sexuality, including the comparison between sex scenes with Rhaenyra and Daemon versus Rhaenyra and Criston. Also, Rhaenyra calling Viserys out for how men are allowed to the freedom to have sex and father dozens of bastards, but women have to remain pure for their marriage. Mm-hmm. Mary, do you want to root for Daemon in any capacity?
Yeah, for good television.
I think so, too. And I do think he has some redeeming qualities. The sense that I get from Daemon is that he feels most himself with Rhaenyra. Like the fact that they can speak Valyrian to each other, mm-hmm. and the fact that the show continues to make that happen, yet you never see him speaking Valyrian with anybody else ever. I think that's important.
Yes.
And you know, the way Matt Smith delivers Valyrian, I'm kind of in, man.
Good.
Like, I think it's a cool thing.
Good for you.
All right, we have a voicemail. You ready?
Yes.
Blank, it's Glow from Methuen.
Hi,
Glow. This is for House of the Dragon, Episode 4.
Your cousin from Boston.
I'm giving this episode 4.8 flames. Okay. What an episode. I'm dubbing it the sexual extravaganza.
I like it.
The rumpy pumpy was everywhere. It made me laugh seeing Rhaenyra dressed as a boy. She looked like a total newsie to me.
I have
two of each of my GPGs. First, good. Rhaenyra finally getting a seat at the small council. About time. Second, Samuel Blackwood literally slaying his heckler. Good for him. I love that kid. First bat, Daemon taking Rhaenyra's hat off to expose her. And sidebar, does Daemon always have performance issues? Because, I don't know. Second, when Rhaenyra is given the tea to deal with any consequences that may have occurred. So clearly her dad didn't believe her when she said she didn't sleep with anyone. Of course she did lie, but yeah. First grade. Rhaenyra telling her father to clean up his house by getting rid of Middlefinger, Otto Hightower. And second, the king actually fire him. Yay! Let's celebrate. I'll bring the tequila. A couple other stuff. The king and queen's turn in the sheets, I thought was very sad. What is she now? 19, 20, and has two kids, and has to do her wife, her queenly duty. It seems like she wasn't even there. I actually felt bad for Alicent, and I don't even like her. I do like, however, they're using Viserys' character, who's nicknamed the White Worm in the show, because it's totally different from the book. Here, it's...
Oh, she got cut off. Hold on one second.
Hey, guys. Hello again. Sorry, you must hate me listening to my voice now. I was talking about Missaria, because it's totally different in the book. Here, it seems like she's our new Varys, which I really like. She's responsible for paying that boy to watch out for Daemon in all his doings, seeing Rhaenyra and reporting to Middlefinger. And that last sex scene, Sir Criston did initially say no to Rhaenyra. What did you guys think about that scene? I thought it was kind of hot, but, you know, he did say no initially and took his sweet time taking off his armor. Oh, my God. Okay, so the writing was spectacular, and I loved it, and that's it. Okay, bye.
All right, Mary, that's a great question. Your thoughts on, a person's choice, because he does say no. And let's also consider this fact, too. He owes everything to Rhaenyra. So if she insists that he does what she wants him to do, does he have the right or the power or the capability to say no?
Yes, I think he does. And I don't think she forced him. I don't think she said, in name of your, since I'm your princess, you have to do what I say. It didn't come off to me like that.
No, it didn't. But is it implicit? That's what I'm getting at.
I didn't feel that it was implicit.
Okay.
I didn't.
You felt like he said no because it was the right thing to say.
Yeah, because he's not supposed to be in her room.
Right.
And it's improper and I'm going to get in trouble and I'm going to lose my job. But then... like, I didn't take it as, no, I don't want to have sex. I think once sex was in...
when that was a thing?
When that was, like, an understood thing, there was no. It was giggles. It was happiness. It was more no, like, give me my helmet back. I'm going to get in trouble.
Yeah.
So I took it more as teenagers... hey, let's break curfew. Let's sneak out. No, I'm going to get in trouble.
Gotcha.
Okay, fine. You know I want to do it anyway.
All right, Mary, it is now time for one of my favorite segments in Mary and Blake Media. It's Mary's Dad's Thoughts.
Oh, yes.
Hi, this is Mary's Dad following up on this week's episode of House of Dragons.
By the way, just want to say this. The fact that your dad is commenting on this episode.
I feel so freaking awkward. So awkward.
I cannot wait to see how he handles this. I have not listened to this yet.
I don't think we've ever talked about sex ever with my dad.
And now, you know what? When you in for a penny, in for a pound. Okay? You're just, if you're going
to
talk sex with your dad.
Talk about like multiple sexual situations.
Might as well be incest sex. Ladies and gents, this is all happening in real time.
I forgot about this segment. I take it back.
Mary was all excited.
I'm not enjoying this episode anymore.
And Mary was like, yeah, my dad's thoughts. And then she went, oh no, nope. My dad's thoughts.
Just play it. I almost don't even want to hear it. I'll do and take one ear off. Then it's not surround sound. Then it's not like he's here with me. I'll know that it's not here with me. And if I get really awkward, I'll just take it off completely. Go, Blake! It's like a Band-Aid!
Just rip it off.
Rip it off now.
A lot happened. And I'm convinced that the prince is becoming the central character.
Just push pause.
Not only did he have that...
You know who feels more awkward than me?
Your dad.
My dad.
A lot happened.
Whew. Thanks, Dad. Thank you.
Hey, look at the show. Time's up.
So, keep going. So he thinks the prince, Damon, because my dad doesn't know everybody's names. He just calls them prince, king, princess, queen, hand of the king. I bet you he doesn't know a single person's name in this. I mean, let's be real. His favorite character was the dead queen. Oh, poor thing.
Died 20 minutes into the show.
Okay. Okay. You could rewind for a couple seconds and I'll stop interrupting my dad.
I'm so thankful we did this. I'm so thankful. All right, here we go. I'll rewind a few seconds.
Big victory that the central character.
You're not rewinding. You're fast forwarding.
Not only did he have that big victory that he had over the crab feeder, but I think it was totally deliberate and calculated what he did with the princess, taking her where he took her and trying to have his way with her. And I think that I think he might have put some poison on the Iron Throne in the spot where he figured his brother's hand was going to go. Oh. I think that's what's going on with the king. I don't know what he's sick with, but my guess is that it traces back to some deliberate action by the prince. And at the end there, it was something that the wizard, or I forget what his title is, but...
Wizard? Who's a wizard?
Where's Gandalf?
Wait a second, Dad. This is not...
You're a wizard, Harry.
This is not Lord of the Rings or Harry Potter, Dad. Just because we podcast about both of them. For future reference, Dad, if you even listen to this, I don't even know if we know how to download a podcast. There are no wizards in this universe.
Yeah, is the wizard? Or,
okay. Who is he even talking about?
I don't know.
He doesn't know people. Okay, before we press play, who does my dad think is a wizard? Does he think the hand of the King Otto was a wizard? Oh, wizard. Or does he think the maester is a wizard? The tea-making maester? I would think, okay, my money's on the maester. You think it's Otto. Oh, my dad.
Let's take a bet.
Bless his heart.
Oh, let's take a bet.
A lot happened.
He just sidestepped the whole
A lot
thing.
Happened. And you know?
And there was wizards.
And then he took her to that place. This is my dad trying to pivot. And he's thinking, I don't know, Mary and Blake talk about wizards?
There's got to be a wizard somewhere.
Magic? Dragons? If I just say some words, this is like an episode of Family Feud with Steve Harvey. Just going to throw some words up there and see what sticks. Wizard. Rewind for a second. My money's on the maester. Yours is on Otto. Who is a wizard, in my dad's opinion? Here we go.
And at the end there, it was something that the wizard, or I forget what his title is, but the fellow who came in and brought her the little potion to help her in case she finds herself in trouble. Yes. It's a good thing she's not in Texas. That's it for this week. Take care.
My dad dropping bombs!
Bringing the
Drop
hot take.
Bombs! The wizard would be fired!
Oh
in
my
Texas.
God. Holy smokes.
See, I know my dad. I knew his brain was.
He totally did.
Knew it.
I thought that he was going
wizard.
Full Otto. I thought that was an Otto.
My dad needed a potion for it to be a wizard. If there's no wands, is there a potion? Wizard.
Oh my God.
Do you like how my dad knew he needed to get a little dicey because of all the sex, but he wouldn't mention the sex, so he thought he'd drop.
Oh my God.
Drop that.
Drop it like it's hot.
With a wizard.
Holy smokes.
That was just a smoke show right there, friends.
Oh, man.
What to do when your daughter hosts a podcast about an episode that's all about sex and a daughter's sexual revelations.
Yes.
You talk about wizards and you
and you try to make a joke. And you just back away slowly.
Just
back away.
Just it's like the living version of the Homer Simpson gif when he just backs into the hedge. Yeah. That was your dad.
That's what my dad just did. So he just did.
Oh man.
Oh, the wizard.
Oh, God, that was
I feel like
awesome.
That needs to be a clip when we forget somebody's name. It needs to be my dad. Wizard. I don't know, the wizard, that guy.
Well, speaking of that wizard, Marvin, you know, the funny thing is what happens at the end of the episode, you know, where the wizard walks in and says, hey, you know, you should probably have this tea here, you know, take care of things. Mm-hmm. The funny thing is that it feels to me like the king is almost undermining any of the freedom that Rhaenyra has somewhat accomplished now because of her choice and what she has done either with her uncle, number one, or number two, what she, you know, threw under the radar here and, you know, everything, you know, not so much above board, what she's accomplished with Sir Criston Cole. Would you agree that that is the king trying to take control back?
No.
No, how come?
I think, okay, so he and Daemon had sex with everybody at that age.
Sure.
No repercussions.
Right.
Because they can't get pregnant. Mm-hmm. So I think it was his way of saying, if you did, I'm not going to tell the world you did wrong. I'm going to stand by you. But if you did, here's a little something.
Okay.
And if you didn't, you didn't. But, you know, you're old enough that you probably could be having sex.
Sure. Interesting.
I don't see it as a bad thing. I think it's just him saying she's obviously old enough. She did go out.
Yeah.
She saw sex. Mm-hmm. So I think he just thought better safe than sorry.
So we've seen Daemon now not necessarily be able to perform. Let's just say that. He hasn't been able to perform now twice. Once with his original girl, and then next with Rhaenyra. But it felt more like he couldn't perform because the level of domination isn't what he thought it would be. It is, for me at least, a little reminiscent of one Blackjack Randall.
To the far Sassanac.
And his ability to perform is based – Blackjack's ability to perform is at least based on, you know, his level of domination and what he gets out of that. Mm-hmm. So do you feel the same or do
100%.
Okay. What makes you feel that way?
I just feel like, you know, he was into it as long as Rhaenyra had her back to him and he was in control and it was all the newness and he was really into watching her reaction when she was looking at people. But then the moment that she turned around and she started to initiate the kissing and she was showing that she was as into it as he was, mm-hmm. that's when he started to kind of like pull away.
Yeah.
And to me, it wasn't, ooh, this is my niece. I'm doing something wrong.
Yeah.
It was, no, you're not supposed to want me like this.
Right. Right. And I like the fact that Rhaenyra, and this is why I feel like it was really good, but it was also kind of icky because Rhaenyra had made that choice where it was like, yes, I want this. In fact, not only do I want it, I'm going to now demand it. And the way that it was shot, too, again, I have to give a lot of credit to Claire Kilner how she shot this. Like it felt like there were a lot of close-ups. It was unclear about the specifics of what was happening between the two, other than there was a makeout session. Mm-hmm. You know, there was a moment where we could see that her underwear came down. But it was left unclear or vague or whatever word you want to use, I think intentionally. And the fact that it didn't feel exploitative, that was right to me. It felt full of passion. It felt – even the surroundings. Like you remember that scene in Game of Thrones where it was Littlefinger talking and in the background it were these two girls just going to town on each other?
Yes.
And that was happening for the sake of happening. That, yes, to me felt exploitative. That was, you're in Game of Thrones. We're on HBO. This is the world. That's what's going to happen. And mm-hmm. that made a statement. Whereas this felt much more intentional with the person, yes, and the characters and what was happening.
I would agree.
And Lumos, if you didn't hear that, Lumos, Lumos wants to agrees. Talk. Lumos would agree with us on that one. So anything else that you would like to talk about in this episode? I mean, we do have somewhat of a reconciliation here between Alicent and Rhaenyra. It does feel like that there has been time passed. And at the same time, while we have this reconciliation between Rhaenyra and Alicent, there also seems to be some kind of, not falling apart, but Alicent recognizes that people look at her as nothing more than the queen. And I think that really bothers her. And I think this is a little, great little bit of characterization. And what's going to happen when Alicent finds out?
She doesn't need to find out.
She's absolutely going to find out.
Why?
That Rhaenyra did her dirty.
Why?
Because it makes for good television, number one.
Yeah.
What do you think about the characterization here for Alicent and what that means for her and her standing in the crown and where all that is leading to for the Targaryens?
She's going to say, I thought we were chicks before dicks, but obviously not.
You know, I didn't even know that there was like that saying for girls, because I always knew about the bros before hoes thing. Mm-hmm. Did not know chicks before dicks for a long time. Well, I didn't. What do you want me to do?
Nothing.
there's just a lot happening here. And here's the other thing, too, that I really like. And I know we kind of talked about it in the beginning, but we got to see Storm's End for the first time and what that throne looks like with the... You know, even Lord Dondarrion, who is one of Beric Dondarrion's ancestors, which is really cool. That was the original guy that was trying to court Rhaenyra. And Rhaenyra basically suplexes this guy into the crust of the earth when she's like, yeah, and tell me, was my great-grandmother that pretty? You would know, right?
Yeah, tell me about the good old days.
Oh, my God. When you went to the sock hops with my grandma.
Oh my goodness.
Did you guys go pocking
on her on the rotary phone?
On Hope Point? On Lookout Point. Oh man. So the funny thing is that there isn't a whole lot of plot here. And that's okay. That's okay, because we're getting to know more about our characters, what they're doing, their mindset. And it has been confirmed that we will no longer have our current Alicent and Rhaenyra starting in episode 6.
Oh.
So the next episode, they're both saying goodbye.
Farewell.
And they're going to be gone. I wonder if they do this thing with like flashbacks maybe.
That'd be cool.
That would be a nice just curveball into the visual language of Game of Thrones. They don't do that a whole ton. So if we had active flashbacks, that way you can keep those. But maybe they're just going to bid her adieu and then that's the end. I think it'd be kind of a waste. I mean, to set up that kind of fiery connection between the actors like Daemon and Rhaenyra right now and then to just kind of lay that to waste.
I mean, we've had that with The Crown.
Yeah, that's true. But that was a whole season worth and two seasons at a time, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, what did you think about Daemon's haircut?
Love it.
I'm kind of out on it.
I love the glow up. I mean, obviously, when you have to wash a lot of guts and blood out of your hair, at a certain point, you just say, you know, is this worth salvaging?
Mm-hmm.
You just cut it off. I absolutely loved his haircut. I think it's very heartthrob. You know, he looked for Justin Bieber, the little swoosh hair over the eyes circa 2010, and said, I'm going to go for it. And then, I mean, heck, he comes in, and the king pretty much gives him a party.
Right.
Gives him a big party.
And then...
New hairdo. conquered some lands.
And you kind of want to believe that the experience in the Stepstones, I don't want to say humbled Daemon, but matured Daemon in a sense that it would be like, yeah, okay, I get it.
I think it just fueled his fire.
Exactly. And we get that when he sends the note and the clothes to Rhaenyra and then does what he does. And what we end up coming to understand is that not only has Daemon not changed, but more to the point, he's still trying to needle his brother by saying, yeah, you know, your daughter and I, yeah, we totally banged. So you might as well let me marry her.
He didn't say he actually did. He never once
well, good
says
point.
He did.
Good point.
He says
he just never denies
it. Yeah, he's like, well, tell me what you're accusing me of. Oh, well, that's interesting that that's what you're accusing me of. Remember how many times we had sex when we were her age?
Right.
And, well, how about this?
How about I marry
you? Just let me marry her. He never once says that they coupled.
Right. That's a good... Oh, coupled. Great word, coupling. By the way. Coupling. You got to give that to Sir Otto Hightower. You know, the disturbing news of coupling. Mm-hmm. that is a great pull, Mary. He never does say that they actually did it. What he does say is, then we should marry. And, now, implicit in that is that they did do it, but it isn't a distinct... you know, smoking gun that they did. I find that interesting. But nevertheless, he's still needling his brother. And so not only has he not changed, but he may have gotten worse in terms of his pushing and his swagger, if you will. Mm. We should have seen that when he walked up to the sword. And we also could foresee a lot of this happening when he is riding Caraxes, and as he dives down, he hits Rhaenyra's boat.
I don't think he hit it. It was just the wave. They're riding a sailboat.
No, he hit the boat. Like, it was done purposely.
No, I know he'd swooped in close. Yeah. I don't think he actively hit it. I think the sheer size of a dragon and its wings flapping air.
Okay, gotcha.
Knocked it.
Understood.
I don't think he hit it. I think if they hit it, boat would have tipped, like water.
Well,
tipped.
I mean, if they gave it a little bit of a nudge, you know, like a little bit of a, you know, just to let you know that I'm there. I thought it was a fun, flirtatious little thing that helped foreshadow what was coming.
Okay, you ready for some things that I noticed?
Yes, absolutely.
As Rhaenyra sneaks out and walks by the dragon skull, there's a close-up shot of rats by the dragon skull.
Oh, interesting.
And then after Alicent and Viserys coupled, she looks up on the bed beams, and there's a rat up there.
Oh, interesting. And he calls her a street rat, too, yes. By the way. Interesting.
I just liked it because, to me, it's just saying, like, there's a rat... or many rats within this castle right now that the dragon isn't even knowing is there.
Interesting.
That isn't awakening the dragon.
I like it.
Yeah. I loved Blackwood Kid.
Oh, that was
slaying Bracken Jabroni.
Yep.
Oh, whatever. Look at me. Ha ha ha. Yeah, well, you're dead.
That kid was brought it. Did not expect that coming.
Poor Alicent. First, you know, she finally gets to tell her bestie that she's lonely.
Yeah.
That she doesn't really have any friends. So she does that. Rhaenyra accidentally says, well, your one job is to squeeze out heirs. Then we see her next shot, consoling a crying baby as she's looking out at the town. Doesn't get to do anything fun. The princess gets to go out for a fun night of partying. She doesn't get that. Then she has to clean her husband's wounds. Then she has to be woken up from her sleep to go couple with her husband, looks up to see a rat on the bedpost, and then Rhaenyra lies to her. If you are not sympathetic for Lady Alicent, Queen Alicent, you got no soul.
Not great, Bob!
When I saw Alicent in this episode, I felt the postpartum blues for her, where you just sit there and you say, all I do all day is feed a baby, rock a baby, you know, take care of my family. Now my husband is a baby who I have to bathe and, like, swaddle, essentially, in different ways. Mm-hmm. The poor thing. The other thing that I thought was really cool is there was lots of thunder in storms. So as Rhaenyra is meeting with those different lords, you know, making fun of the guy that's really old and also the guy who's really young, we actually hear thunder starting to come on in.
Yes.
And then as Allison is speaking with Viserys and they're looking out over the windows and she's telling him, you know, Rhaenyra doesn't lie to you, but your brother does, there's thunder as well. So storms are rolling.
Storms
in.
Are coming, baby.
Yes, yes. Then let's see what else I wanted to make sure. Oh, I don't understand fully why Viserys had the dagger in the fire. Can you only see the words if it's on fire?
Yes, that's what it's felt to me. And the fact, and here's the thing too. I know this was relatively confirmed by Game of Thrones, but I just want to have a conversation with you about it. It obviously the dagger and what was inscribed in the dagger, which, by the way, a cool like retroactive add to the dagger, is that it talks about the prince that was promised and his will be the Song of Ice and Fire. Mm-hmm. That obviously, at least to me, my interpretation of that is that's Jon Snow.
Or Daenerys, because doesn't necessarily have to be a he.
That's true. I mean,
it's somebody from the future.
Yes, right.
But this is the dagger that was used to try to attack Bran when he was right. in his coma.
And then once again used to kill the Night King, right? Mm-hmm. And it's called Cat's Paw. And it was Arya uses it to kill the Night King. Hashtag spoilers. So, yeah, I think that's a cool little retroactive refit for that dagger and what that means and how we get to see these connective tissue DNA things, you know, that helps it, at least it just, it's an understanding of what's coming for Jon Snow. And we, as the viewers, get a chance to put that together and have that dramatic irony that the characters don't. I find that fascinating. And I like these little things that aren't like direct, but are enough DNA where you're like, oh, cool. I see where that's going.
Part of me wonders if Viserys has made Rhaenyra his heir only because his son isn't old enough to hear the message he needs to pass to him.
Well, no, he made her the heir before he had his son.
Yeah, but like he could easily just say, never mind, now I have a son. He could de-heir her.
That's true.
But part of me wonders when we do get that time jump and he is old enough to be able to tell his son, because mm-hmm. that's something important. He has to pass down that knowledge
yep.
to the next monarchy person, you know, the next ruler of the kingdom.
Yep.
Is he just saying, fine, I'll keep Rhaenyra because my son would just bite this stupid dagger. Like he doesn't, he doesn't even know his ABCs.
So there are two things that I really want to call out. First is the acting between Patty Considine and Considine, whatever, and Rhys Ifans as Sir Otto Hightower and the king.
And we just need to say, yes, he reminds you of Voldemort because he's Voldemort's brother.
What do you mean?
I've had some people say that Otto reminds them of Voldemort and they don't know why.
Really?
Isn't he Voldemort's brother, the actor?
No.
What?
What are you talking about? He is in Harry Potter, but he plays Luna's father.
Wait, who? Otto?
Yeah.
Wait, the hand?
Yes.
Oh, man. Okay, wait. So the hand is really Luna Lovegood's dad.
Yes.
Even though Viserys kind of looks like Luna Lovegood's dad.
Yes.
And he wasn't in Harry Potter. And the actor's brother isn't in this show.
No.
He's in Handmaid's Tale.
He plays Commander Waterford.
Misinterpreted his last name.
I think you misinterpreted
a lot of
the
things.
Entire situation.
A lot of things. Sorry. Well, he wasn't Harry Potter.
Yes, he was.
I'm Ron Burgundy.
There you go. It's not, I didn't read anything wrong.
I didn't
read anything. What's his last name?
Ooh.
The hot Otto. The hand of the king. The guy that I thought was Voldemort's brother.
Oh, man. Reese Ifans. Oh. Ifans.
And what's Voldemort's last name?
Fiennes.
Oh. Not a close. Never mind.
Ralph Fiennes plays Voldemort. His brother is Joseph Fiennes, who plays Commander Waterford. But
this guy is
Reese Ifans.
Oh, see? Ralph Fiennes, Reese Ifans. Say it 12 times fast. Ralph Fiennes, Reese Ifans.
Helen Hunt.
Reese Ifans.
Oh, man. Laura Linney. It's Laura Linney and Helen Hunt all over again. That is a good This Is Us 2 reference for all of you, for all you nerds out there. All right. Anyway, before we got into that whole thing, I wanted to say that the acting between these two
between
in that
who?
Scene, Patty Considine and Reese Ifans, is excellent.
Luna Lovegood.
The Luna
Plus
Lovegood's
the guy
dad.
Looks like Luna Lovegood. Okay.
Yes.
The hand
yes.
and the king, as yes. my dad would say. No wizards.
No wizards.
Otto and Viserys.
Anyways, what I'm saying is the acting between these two is spectacular. And I really, 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 really like it. That felt like one of those moments, again, where anything can happen. And it's not what they were saying necessarily. It's like, you no longer serve the purpose of the crown, whatever. Like that's all like regular la-di-da stuff. But the presence shared between the two of them is spectacular.
I didn't understand what he was saying about his dad. Is he accusing Otto of killing his dad?
Yes. Yes, he is.
That's some deep
He's
stuff.
He's saying like, hey.
My dad was healthy and then
And then all
he
of
wasn't.
A sudden he wasn't. And he wasn't when you were the hand. And now all of a sudden, you got people following my daughter,
your daughter.
And then you touched my kid, and my kid died. Like, what is going on here? And is he wrong?
I mean,
It
is just a little weird when he's like, shame on you for being naughty with my daughter. Well, you're kind of coupling his, so, like, come on, man.
Good point. Good point.
This is weird.
I mean, it's not eye for an eye territory, but it's towing that line.
It's just awkward.
And then lastly, the thing I want to call out is Ramin Djawadi's score. This is the first time in this series so far that I felt the score. And
same.
It was like
for me, it was in the bowels of the pleasure house.
Yes, that's exactly what I was going to say.
And it was not pleasant music, and that's how I knew, like, this is not
right.
a good thing.
Yep.
I mean, we knew it wasn't a good thing, but you really knew it wasn't a good thing.
Right. It was just all the tension that he creates with the strings and how it seems to be like this weird intonation that he uses, and is also like this really cool like vocal track that he uses that is a play on the Targaryen theme that just felt like a twisted Targaryen theme, which seemed to me to fit the environment that the show is creating in this episode. Really excellent stuff. Really excellent stuff. Anything else you want to talk about in this episode, my darling?
That was it.
All right. Who are you rooting for? Who's the bad guy?
I am rooting for Princess Rhaenyra.
Okay.
I'm rooting for her. I want her to have lots of sex.
Yeah.
Good for you.
Okay.
I would love for her to, she's going to have, she's getting married. We're having a royal wedding. I'm so rooting for her and her dress because she has the best dresses.
Oh, yes.
She's going to have a cool hairdo. I'm rooting for her. And who is the bad guy?
Yep. Who you feel like is, you know what? This don't look good.
I'm actually going to say Daemon right now because
really?
I don't think he's going to take this wedding well.
Ooh, good
Doesn't
point.
Mean that I can't root for him later, but right now I'm rooting for Rhaenyra, getting cake testing. You know, maybe she'll go the untraditional route. Maybe she'll do Bananas Foster because she wants the flambé.
Oh yes, the flambé. Mm. Oh my goodness. Maybe. Do you think she's a baked Alaska girl?
Maybe they'll do a melting pot style, like what is it when you dip it in
fondue? Yeah.
I could see the Targaryens doing a fondue.
Oh, yes.
hot pot bananas Foster flambe.
Sure.
Plus the scorpion bowls mm-hmm. with the little alcohol in the center that lights up while you drink it with the two straws.
You got to have the two straws unless you're Damon and Rhaenyra. Then you only use one. You know what? Absolutely love this idea. They're totally scorpion bowl people.
Yeah,
it comes with like a dragon face and like the, but it doesn't have one little middle. The dragon, like the fire comes out of the dragon's nose, and you drink out of the dragon's. Oh yes, I am in on this. This is great stuff.
Okay,
great stuff. All right. For me, who am I rooting for? I once again, Mary, once again, rooting for Sir Criston Cole.
Good for him.
This guy, unfortunately, is not going to meet a good end.
I mean, you're pretty. You just had your V card taken.
Yep.
Things are getting weird. You're going to hear through the grapevine that she possibly double dipped that
Guaranteed
night.
That's happening.
You know, and you're going to feel a little awkward about that for being sloppy seconds.
And what's going to happen, too, when the new husband shows up and...
The cousin,
and he realizes that she is no longer a maiden. How's that going to look?
I think he'll be fine.
That right there is going to be...
Not great, Bob!
I actually thought the maester was going to come in and examine her.
I thought that, too.
I was nervous about Rhaenyra for that.
I thought...
So I was really pleased that they didn't do that to her.
I thought that when she went to go see the king, he was going to be waiting with a maester. And that she was going to have to get in the stirrups and see what happens. Like, that's what I thought. Mm-hmm. But who is the bad guy? 100% Alicent Hightower.
Ooh.
This girl is going to break bad in the worst way. Going to happen.
Love it.
She's going to break bad because she's going to find out that she went to bat for Rhaenyra.
But Rhaenyra just went out clubbing.
Put on her best clubbing outfit.
Gonna have Sandstorm with the glow sticks, but instead it's fire.
Oh man, that is so funny. Well, okay, that is that. Are you ready to close out the show, my darling?
Sure am.
You know what? Vamp for me for 1 second as we close out this show. Can you do that? Can you just vamp?
You know?
Give me 15
seconds. Sir Criston Cole wearing all those layers. He must have been stanky.
Right?
I mean.
Oh, God.
Gotta do
metal and leather.
Gotta do a little sponge bath. Maybe see if the king has a little extra soap.
When was the last time he actually took a shower or a bath?
I believe he would take a shower or a bath every day. His hair looked impeccably conditioned.
Yes.
And
yes.
Not sweaty.
He's using a Pert Plus at the least.
Nobody. Blake, is this the 90s? I don't even think they sell Pert
Plus. Welcome to the
anymore.
90s, Mr. Bonks. Oh, speaking of rom-coms. Oh, give me a good Father of the Bride reference any day. Any day, baby. All right, you ready to close it out?
Sure.
Let's do it.
Hey, guys. If you're not driving, I want you to close your eyes. I want you to picture
What are we picturing?
Damon with his hood down.
Yeah.
Okay. He's handing Rhaenyra two glow sticks. She's looking at them because she's never seen them before. She's a street rat. And now the actors from the stage come out with the fireball people.
Uh-huh.
And Damon whips off his hood and he does those cool moves with the pretend ball. You know how they used to dance with the pretend ball? And Rhaenyra's into it, but she doesn't know how to move, so she's just kind of like, you know, Charlie Browning with her little glow sticks. And then Damon's like on the floor.
He's doing like spinning moves.
Oh man, the ball is so big. So big, he's like Atlas. Okay? You're welcome.
And you know what was really good too? Another understated thing was the play that the two of them witnessed. And how that shows that all of, like, the common people, they don't care. All they're doing is just ranking on the Targaryens to begin with. But it does show an importance that Daemon does understand and appreciate the common people and what they're saying. Like, the whole thing was just this really understated, subtle move, power move. Like, a super subtle flex by Daemon.
Super subtle flex.
A super subtle flex.
In addition to his mad dance skills.
With the ball. This is great, Mary. This is good
friends,
stuff.
On that note,
Thank you. Thanks for tuning in to this episode. We truly appreciate you checking it out. Don't forget to head on over to your podcast app of choice and leave us a written review. Don't just do the stars.
Yep. Okay?
Leave us a written review because we are moving up in the world.
Yes, we are.
When it comes to Apple Podcasts.
I mean, after this, if you have to have Sandstorm, I mean, how can you not move up in the world?
You just can't go wrong when it comes to Sandstorm. So I want to thank Lauren Ashley, who left us a review saying, this is the podcast you're looking for. Mary and Blake's podcast is by far the best media podcast to listen to.
Hi-yo.
Want a community? Want a nerd out? Add this podcast and you will not be disappointed. They are the real deal.
I like it.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Ashley. This is good stuff. All right, Marvin, I think that's it. That's the end.
That's it. My name is Mary.
My name is Blake.
And you've been listening. Oh, Jock Harris.